Turn in your Bibles to a very well-known passage, 2 Timothy 3:16, but we'll start at verse 10, excuse me. Pete and I had a very special afternoon today. He was celebrating his first grandson's birthday, first year birthday, and I was celebrating my great-grandson's first birthday today, and we had a very enjoyable time with the families. This verse in 2 Timothy 3:16 is probably something that most of us had in Bible Memory 101 when we first became Christians. I remember my Bible 101 teacher. His name was Perry Meehan at Church of Redeemer many, many years ago. I joined his class at a time when I was going through a time of depression, struggling where I was going to be with Christ, and I joined his class, and I believe it was a big help in pointing me to Christ. And it was also a big help in me working while in depression. I was working in Coolidge that time, working on a house, and I had to literally, from the time I memorized that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would say it over and over and over again, all the way to Coolidge, the whole days I was working, and all the way back to accomplish something while I was in my depression. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for your word and that it will not go away void, but it'll do exactly what you intend for it to do. We thank you for this scripture that we're looking at tonight, although it may be very familiar to all of us. I pray that we would glean some things out of this tonight that would help not only us, but those around us. And I pray in Christ's name, amen. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness, my persecutions, sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is something that we use in counseling all the time. People come to Christ and they want to know how to change. We take them to God's Word and to teach them that God's Word is able to change them. Well, Scripture is God-breathed. Yes, we do believe in God's Word being from Him. Most of us, I hope all of us, believe that this Scripture is come from God Himself through the prophets and through the men of the New Testament who God brought along through the Holy Spirit by their personalities to put the Word of God down for us to have today to live by. Well, that word profitable, if the sound of it means that we have to do something with it, right? It's profitable for something, and so we have to do something with it. And we see in this passage four natural points. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. that the man of God may be competent or equipped for every good work. Now, so are we just to teach ourselves? Is that all this is for? I don't think so. Matter of fact, in the Great Commission, we're told to make disciples by teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded. That puts a lot of more people than just myself. Why do we teach scriptures? One main reason is to find out where people's thinking is. I think our brother Michael this morning is stretching some of our minds and finding out where we're thinking on some of the issues that maybe some of us didn't even know were there. It's profitable for thinking of where we are in lining up with God's Word. Reproof, secondly. It is profitable for reproof. A definition for reproof is reprove, rebuke, reprimand, admonish. Reprove implies an often kindly intent to correct sin. I like the word admonish myself. I like the word lovingly admonish someone for areas of sin that they may be involved in. Not coming on strong and telling them they're going to hell, but coming alongside of them lovingly saying and showing how concerned you are for them. What does that look like? Coming alongside somebody and admonishing them. I think some of us would say, like Moses, I don't speak too good. I'm afraid that they would say something that I didn't know how to respond. This is what it looks like. In my construction business, over the years I was in construction, I ended up marrying 7 different couples that I worked with on their projects and found out they weren't married. And so sometime during the project, I would wait for an opening and I would lovingly come alongside of them and say, doesn't it bother you that you're living this way? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're living in sin. And my Bible in 1 Corinthians 6 says that fornicators will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, I've had some people tell me it's none of your business, but I've had many tell me, oh, you mean that that's a sin? So I take them and my Bible's out in my truck, so I bring it in and show them in God's Word. And some of them, 7 couples, were convicted. And either right then or later, 2 weeks, 3 months down the road, gave me a call and wondered if I would be willing to marry them. Now, of course, the gospel would always be presented either before or during the wedding. If they were unbelievers, I can marry them. If one was a Christian and one not, we would have a lot more talking to do. So, loving admonishment comes when you keep your ears and your eyes open. And when you find people that you hear like that, it's an open, it's an in to their lives to find out what's going on. Correction, number 3. Correction means there needs to be a plan of change to put off a conviction of their sin. And if there's not any conviction of their sin, we are not going to show them how to look like a Christian. We're going to stay on the gospel until they see that their lives are in sin, that whatever they're doing is in sin. Their anger is sin. Their pornography is sin. We're not going to show them how they're to live to look good. Without conviction, there's really no further that you can go with them. But if there comes around conviction, then correction is involved. In Ephesians 4:22, Paul says to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And this putting off of the old person, after you've been convicted of sin or born again, following Christ, and that has to happen in all areas of your life. I remember someone telling me one time, well, I started telling about things that people were doing that were sin and against God's law, and, oh, I didn't know that was, I thought we just had to obey the bare Ten Commandments. So, yeah, I mean, you start unfolding the Ten Commandments, and everything falls under there somewhere, the sin in their life. And this lady, elderly lady, professing to be a Christian, strong husband, her husband was shocked when he heard her answer. So then you put off the old, but you can't just put off the old, you have to put on the new. You have to turn and do those things that God would have you to do. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is where the scriptures come into play. Scriptures are God-breathed. They are used by the Holy Spirit to change us and to change others. It's not you that changes anybody. I've worked with some people for 4 or 5 years hoping that we would see a complete change in them. I hardly ever give up on somebody until they give up and walk away from me. And then, of course, I'm praying for them, hoping the Holy Spirit will change them. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. It's the Word of God in the Spirit. You don't have to try to change this person. You simply have to give them the Word of God that deals with the area that they are struggling with. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. In conclusion tonight, some of you may say, Daryl, what are you saying? Are you saying that I should get more involved in the lives of other people? Yes, then you have hit the nail on the head. I believe that we all should get involved in the lives of more people. And not just for the sake of friendship or a good neighbor next door, but that God planned to bring the gospel to us, and I believe that we should follow that model and plan to take the gospel to the neighbor across the street next to us, the guy at the gas station. Here's where I was convicted many, many years ago. Because I thought at first, all I got to do is take care of me. I got to make sure that I grow in the faith. I have my devotions. I follow the Lord. But Colossians 1:24 and following says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up with what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for all ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. We know the gospel, brothers and sisters. We know that it's Jesus Christ's life, death, burial, resurrection, his sin on the cross for us, given his righteousness. We know. And many people need to know that. They don't know that. To them, God has chosen to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm not just responsible to present myself mature in Christ. I am responsible to present everyone mature in Christ. When I say everyone, I mean people that were within your influence. And if you're done with those people, then start making plans to take it to people that aren't in your influence yet. For this I toil. Paul says, for this I toil, struggling with all whose energy? His energy, not my energy, his energy that he powerfully works in me. So I challenge you to use the strength that you have fresh every morning from the Lord Jesus, the same strength that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, to serve him, to share the gospel with people, to plan to take the gospel to those around you. Let's pray. Our God, I thank you for your love and grace to us in Christ. I thank you that you planned to bring the gospel to each one of us that sits here tonight. Because if you had not planned to do that, we would be in sad condition. Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct us to be Christians. To just let being a Christian just ooze out of us. That people around us would know that something has happened, something has changed in us. And we'll give you the thanks for it in Christ's name. Amen.